All right. So if you have your Bibles this evening, if you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll start reading in verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. The subject we're going to talk about tonight is a subject that's very important to me. It's something that I think is very difficult for some people, especially individuals who are just starting out, but I'm not ignorant to think that it's also something that is very important, but also difficult at times for us as adults, as we continue to have busy lives and we continue to try and fit things in, and we try and find that extra 5 minutes to do this and 5 minutes to do that, and you have kids and everything else running around. Things become difficult. Life is busy. But there are certain things that the Lord puts out in His Word that He wants us to make sure that we make a priority. And I'm hoping that I can help you tonight in shedding some light on some of this. So Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, it says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So what I want to do tonight is I want to deconstruct and really go in depth and look at this passage specifically, because I think that there's not a more important subject in all the world for a Christian, someone who's already been saved, than to know how to effectively pray. Not only to learn how to pray, but how to pray with power. As a Christian, it's important to realize that nothing is outside of prayer except what is outside of the will of God. Prayer can do anything that God can do, and God can do anything. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the passage that we just looked at here, it shows us how to pray. Now notice it doesn't say, "Hey everybody, just pray this prayer." That's not what it says. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray." This is not a prayer to simply be repeated mindlessly or droned on or said verbatim. There are times at a gathering, I've done funerals where individuals have asked me specifically, not individuals who are in this congregation, obviously, but someone who is outside of the Heritage Baptist Church congregation. I've done funerals, and I've been to funerals, but I've done funerals where they've asked me, "Hey, Pastor, can you recite the Lord's Prayer?" And that's something that I have to then talk to them about. Like, okay, I'm not going to necessarily tell you no, but just know that I'm going to explain what this verse means. So I want you to allow me to do that if I do so, because many people do that because they don't understand what this passage means. It's not something that is correct for you to think that this is the Lord wants us to continually recite this prayer. And secondly, we don't just stand and say a prayer. Prayers are not meant to be said, they're meant to be prayed. That's why they're called prayers. You may ask, well, what's the difference? Well, suppose I were to come to your house and I were to come down and I were to sit in your living room and you say to me, "Say a conversation," right? That would be silly, right? You'd be like, "What is wrong with this person? Why are they talking? There must be a wire crossed or something." Prayer is talking with God. That's what prayer is. It's not merely repeating words. Jesus said that we are not to pray in vain repetition. The key is Matthew 6:9, as Jesus says, "In this manner, therefore pray." He's showing us how to pray. Pray like this, he says. So, if we're looking at a heading here, it would be learn how to pray. For many Christians, the major failure in life is failing to learn how to pray. I mean, a lot of times we ask kids to pray and we think it's cute when they just say what's ever on their mind when they're back in patch. But then, as we get older, a lot of times there's this pressure for kids or for young adults to have to learn how to do it in like this distinguished manner and be all smart about it. And what we need to learn is that there's no sin in your life that proper prayer could not avoid. There's no need in your life that proper prayer c- could not supply. And that's why I say that nothing lies outside of the reach of prayer except which is outside of the will of God. If we don't learn how to pray, then we're a fool. I mean, I can't really say it any more bluntly than that. If we, for whatever reason, as a Christian, if we don't learn how to pray, then we are a fool. I believe that it's important that we take a look at the model of the prayer in Matthew chapter 6. So the first thing I want to look at is the persons of the prayer. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, who are the persons, the people, in this prayer? We have a father and a child, essentially. I mean, that's what we have here. We're coming to God and speaking to God as our Father. It's important to understand this fact, that it's a father and a child, because real powerful prayer that prevails against everything else, is for the children, the child of God. You may be under the assumption that this is to be taken for granted because we're all children of God, right? That's these movements that people have out there. This is false thinking. Not everyone is a child of God. Jesus told the unsaved Pharisees in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of the father ye will do." So then who are the true children of God? Well, John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So not everyone is a child of God, only believers, right? Believers are children of God. So often we hear people speak of the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of men, but that just isn't right. That's just not right. God is not universally the father of all people. And all people are not brothers. We may be brothers in our humanity, but not spiritually. We are not brothers until we're born into the family of God, and then we have one common father. God becomes our father when we're born into the family of God. The argument of some is creation, right? They argue that since God is the creator, then he must be the father of all. Well, he also created roaches, mice, ticks, and spiders, which are all the devil, in my opinion. But they are horrible creatures, and they're not my brethren, right? Because I will slay them when I see them. Not spiders. I don't slay those. Nicole slays those, but she does. I'm not going to lie. She has to kill the spiders in my house. I kill those little ladybug things that come in the house. I can kill those. He does not become the father by creation. He becomes the father by new birth. Now, the first thing, before you can do anything else, that you must do if you want your prayer to be answered and you want your prayers to be powerful, is you have to become a child of God. If somebody asks you, inevitably, if you're out in the world, I just had somebody, literally before I came into work, I had to go into work super early because I knew I had to come and be here early because I had to change clothes. I don't wear this to work. So somebody from Dace, who I used to work with, came into my office and they were like, "Hey, you're a praying person, aren't you?" I said, "Well, yes, I am." And she said that her sister was putting her newborn baby into the high chair and it must have slipped out of her arms and it fell and hit its head on the ground and fractured its skull. So she wanted me to pray for the baby, and apparently the baby's kind of okay, but it's not latching on and everything else. So there obviously there's concern there. I'm not saying that God doesn't care about her, about her sister, about her baby. But she's told me, I used to work with this person when I worked on Days, I know that they aren't believers. So when they come and they want me to pray for this individual, or they are praying, they are coming as someone who is not a child of God because they have not been saved. Now, does that mean that God's going to be like, "Well, I don't care about that baby. That baby's head can just crack open like an egg for all I care." That is not necessarily the case. God knows what's going to happen in that child's life. God can spare that child. God can help that child. God can work in that child's life. God can work in their life. I know, looking back now, that God was working in my life even when I wasn't praying to him, even when I wasn't saved. God gave me, for example, the perfect wife that I could have had as a youth pastor way before I was even going to church, let alone saved and was a youth pastor, whatever. God was working those things out in my life way beforehand. So it doesn't mean that God just throws us in the trash before that. But what I'm talking about here is when you come to God with a prayer and expect Him to answer you, if you haven't been saved, don't expect that answer to come. I mean, don't expect it. God's not obligated to hear your prayer in that way. So, again, the first thing you need to do is you need to get saved. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've done that, okay, then we've done step one. We're ready to go, right? We've got gas in the car. We're ready to take off. So there are people that say, I can't pray. So you've got the gas in the car. You don't know how to turn it on, right? Okay. So why not? I mean, why is it that someone would say, I don't know how to pray? Praying to your Heavenly Father should be like talking to your earthly father. I mean, it should be essentially the same thing. You don't need to make prayers all theatrical like you're doing Shakespeare or something, right? That's not what it's got to be. You don't have to pray in Old English with all kinds of thou'ists and verilies and all that stuff. You don't have to do that. You can simply talk to God out of your heart. That's the way that a child talks to their father. Suppose I came home and you know, Rogan comes up to me and says, you know, hail thou, eminent youth pastor, father of mine. I welcome thou home from thou sojourning. And wouldst thou grant me alms that I may sojourn to yonder apothecary and procure some bubble gum or something? Like, first of all, I can't imagine Rogan ever talking like that, first of all. I love that boy, but he's not that bright. I don't know if he'll ever learn that, but that would be extremely silly and weird. At my home, it'd be more like, Dad, hey, can I have some gum? Sure. Okay. Because he's just, he loves me. He's just talking to me out of his heart. He's comfortable with me. Now, that doesn't mean that he's being disrespectful in that way. You know, I could probably tell him, okay, well, could you ask nicely? Okay, could I please have some gum? Like, he could probably ask it with a please or something, but some people think that you need to pray through a priest or a saint. They say that it's impossible to go directly to God. You have to go through some sort of an ambassador first, and then that ambassador goes to God for you. I've heard I was talking to a person about this once, and they used the example of the president and a congressman, for example. They said, you wouldn't just go directly to the president if you had a question or a concern. You would go up the chain, right? You would go to your local, you know, whatever person, and then you would go to your congressman or your senator or whoever. Which, okay, I get in a sense that'd be true, but we're not talking apples to apples here, because I wouldn't go to that congressman if the president was my dad, right? If the president is President Harrell, which has an awesome ring to it, by the way, but if it was President Harrell, I'm going to him, right? So the purpose of prayer, Matthew 6:10, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Prayer has one purpose, and it has one purpose only, that God's will be done. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not an exercise where we bend God's will and make it fit our will, thankfully. Too many people have the notion that prayer is talking God into doing something that he wouldn't ordinarily do, right? That's not true. As prayer is seeking the will of God and following it, I'm not going to lie. Nicole and I, many times, this happens. We worry about this with teenagers many times, and where they go to school, or once they're in college and they've left, because we still consider them ours once they leave. That's okay. They're just you know, on loan to somebody else for a little while. Once they leave the youth group, we say, okay, we worry about, are they going to get very antsy, and the first man or woman that gives them attention, are they going to try to jump into marriage with them? Or you know, like, are they going to try to, oh, look, I have a boyfriend now, what, we got to get married, and oh, Lord, please, as they got one foot on the altar and putting on the veil, are they just saying, God, please put an amen, you know, if this isn't the one, let him run away, or, you know, let the church burn down if it's not your will, right? Well, look, that's not how it works, right? So we have to know what God's will is. And it's not, we don't pray in these weird ways to try and figure out and manipulate well, I'm going to pray in a way that, that makes it so that God is, or I'm going to be able to do what I want, and what if that's not what I want? What if I pray and I don't get what I want? What if I pray and I don't get the answer to what I was looking for? If your thinking is like that, then let me tell you, God wants for you what you would want for you if you had enough sense to ask for it. God's will is what is best for you. God's will is not something that you have to do. God's will is something that you get to do. So, for example, I've had teenagers come to me and say, you know, I feel the Lord leading me to go to Maranatha, but I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. You don't have to know how you're going to pay for it. What's God's will? Is that you go to Maranatha? Then put in the stinking application. Quit messing around, right? I think I need to go to Rock Valley. Does God want you to go to Rock Valley? If he does, then you better go there, right? If he wants you to go work at McDonald's, you better go flip some burgers, right? Whatever it is that God wants you, you better do it, because you get to do that. You have a God who spoke the entire, everything in existence, into existence with just a word. He now cares about you going to flip someone's cheeseburger. So you better go do it. He wants you to do that for a reason. Oh, well, it's much more prestigious if I go to Maranatha and get a Bible degree. Yeah, but that's not what he wants you to do. Right? Oh, I'm scared to go away from home. Yeah, well, God knows that you're going to be scared to go away from home. But do it anyway. Right? And it's hard sometimes to get individuals to think that way. Right? It's hard to get a 40-year-old man who has been working a job his whole life, like a secular job, and he's sitting at a missions conference, and God tells him, look, I want you to drop everything and go to the missions field or become a full-time pastor or evangelist or something. It's hard for him to say, well, how do I do that? I'm just going to quit my job? I'm just going to do that? Yeah! Yes! Because that's God's will. If you've prayed about it and God tells you that's his will, that's his will. Oh, well, you're going to have to give me some more proof than that. Why? Why do you need more proof than that? If you came and asked me, do I have a pen in my jacket? And I tell you, yes, I have a pen in my jacket. Why do I need to show you that I have a pen in my jacket? If it's because I'm untrustworthy, then yeah. Does anyone here think that God is untrustworthy? Yeah, I didn't think so, right? So, the purpose of prayer. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God loves you so much, and all good things will he give those who walk uprightly in him. God longs to bless you. You need to come to a place where you can know the will of God. 1 John 5:14, and this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We have to pray according to his will. But what is his will? Should I move to a new city and take a new job? Should I sell my house? Should I go to this college or that college? Should you marry this boy or that girl? In all matters, if we seek the will of God, we're going to come to know the will of God. So how can we know the will of God? Jesus said, John 15:7, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I don't see much leeway there. I don't see much confusion in that statement. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. To abide is to lean upon Jesus moment by moment. To look to Jesus and to depend on Jesus. It also means that you are to read the Word of God daily. Not just reading words on a page so that we can cross that off our list for the day. Right? Look, I'm all about reading through the Bible in a year, but sometimes that makes me itchy. Because I worry sometimes that individuals are more worried about hitting their quota to stay on track for reading the Bible through a year sometimes than they are about getting what they need out of the passage that they're reading. I've read through the Bible in a year before, and I know that sometimes, especially when I was first reading and I didn't get all the thous and theists and all the, you know, It's hard sometimes to get through the Deuteronomy and Leviticus and the genealogies and whatever because you don't know who these people are and you can't pronounce their name and they got lots of ites in there and stuff like that. You don't know who these people are. So you're going through, and I know sometimes it's difficult, but God wants you to get something out of every word that's in there. So it's okay if you want to read through the Bible here to say that you've done it, but ensure that when you're going back through, take time when you're reading through these passages to look at each individual person. It's okay to stop for a second, a couple days, a week even. If there's a couple people in a genealogy that you're like, man, I could have swore I've heard that person's name before, and go back and look for that person and see what they've done through there. It's okay to do character studies in your devotions. That's cool. Whatever helps you to get more out of it. God wants you to be able to get more out of your Bible reading. Whatever way you can get more out of it, the better. Because we're supposed to be able to read it, to get stuff out of it, to glean from the Word daily. We need to allow the Word to move from the written page and into our hearts. That way the Holy Spirit can show us how and then what to pray for. Otherwise, we don't know. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know what His will is if we're not talking to Him, if we don't know Him. When I was a kid, if my dad was never in the house and he was never around, I wouldn't know. For example, one thing for my dad, when he was home, he was either doing something in the garage or he was in his recliner sleeping. One of the two, right? Unless he was eating, right? So if he was in his recliner and the TV was on, which was 24/7, right? So if the TV is on, I knew, don't take the remote, even if he's sleeping, and don't change the channel. Like, someone could come into my house and shoot the place up, and he'd sleep through it. But if I change that John Wayne Western off the TV, because I'm bored as a 10-year-old with that on, right? Then he would immediately wake up and be like, who's got the remote? Who changed the channel? Right? So, but I knew that that was his will when I was a kid. Don't do that, right? But if he was never around, how would I know what his will is? If I never did anything or talked to him or knew him in any way, how would I know what his will is? If you don't read God's word, if you don't pray to him, if you don't know what his will is, then how are you going to know what to pray for? You're always going to be praying outside of his will. You're always going to be working outside of his will. And you and God are going to be doing this instead of going like this. The Holy Spirit in us helps us to pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. So what is the purpose of the prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done. We are to seek the will of God in all of us praying. That does not mean fewer blessings for us. It means more blessings for us. Sometimes we just need to get our head around that the thing that happens is a blessing, right? Because sometimes if we get our head around if we have our heart going towards one thing and God gives us another, that thing God gave us, that is a blessing, right? That's not the consolation prize. Right? Sometimes we have to get our mind around that. So the provision of prayer, Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord's telling us that in a practical way, He's going to provide for our needs. Philippians 4:18. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. It does not say, my God shall supply all of my wants. Because there are times when we will want things that we don't need. College students will pray for mates, boyfriends, girlfriends. Some kid who just turned 16, just got their driver's license, will pray for a car. You might not need a car. Maybe you do need a car. But you also have 2 feet. They also, I'm pretty sure they still make bikes. There's also times when we need things that we do not want. There were times when my dad used to tell me that I need to get a whooping or a spanking. And he was right. I did need one, but I sure didn't want one. Right? I started this lesson off by stating that this was not a prayer to be mechanically repeated. It's a model of prayer. Jesus did not say, pray this prayer. He said, pray in this manner. If you need some bread, ask God for a loaf of bread. If you need a house, ask Him for a house. If you let the Holy Spirit show you what to ask for and then pray for the Spirit that your needs are met. I'm convinced that many Christians do not have their needs met when God wants to meet those needs because they cheat themselves of failing to pray for those needs. James 4:2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You know, I remember when we first started going to this church, I remember there was a time when Chrysler was starting to shut down their shifts and I lost my job, and Nicole and I, it was a struggle for a little while, and And there were times, literally, when we would wonder, like, how are we going to buy, like, groceries, right? And, if I was to say, yeah, I need to go, you know, if I tried to do it on my own, if I said, yeah, I need to go sell everything in my house or give blood and just get money little by little as it comes in or whatever, right? If I tried doing it on my own, then I would try to scheme up ways to make up money, right? Now, if God tells me, look, go give blood or whatever, then okay, sell some of the stuff in your house. You don't need all this stuff. Okay. But I remember with the Secret Sisters, I remember that Nicole, this was literally when we first started going here, Nicole had a secret sister that for whatever reason, I don't know if she obviously didn't know what was going on in her life. I don't know if anybody even knew at that point that I had lost my job and whatever. But she kept giving Nicole Walmart gift cards, right? And I remember once Nicole found out who she was and it was all over, Nicole's like, I remember Nicole telling her, like, you don't know. And I remember us saying to each other, like, we'd get the Walmart gift card back on the ladies' table and we'd be like, this is exactly what we needed at that time. Did she know that? No. Did God audibly say, go buy them gift cards because they need some hamburger helper? No. But, because we had a lot of hamburger helper at that point, but she was, I'm sure, praying to the Lord. The Lord led her to get that gift card. The Lord knew that we needed that at the time, and the Lord supplied our needs. If you need a loaf of bread, pray to the Lord to get a loaf of bread. Maybe you'll get a Walmart gift card from somebody. I don't know. I don't know how the Lord's going to work in your life. I just know that it can happen. I remember, and I've told this story before, I remember around that same time when we didn't have a lot of extra money at that point, and I remember Madeline really wanted footy pajamas. She was little at that point. She really wanted footy pajamas, but we couldn't afford just to go out and just buy her more pajamas. So we told her, pray to the Lord that you can get these footy pajamas and maybe somehow the Lord will give us some extra money or whatever. At that point, Mr. J, Nicole's dad, was in Kentucky visiting Grandma Jarvis and was at Walmart and went by this display of footy pajamas and thought, hey, Maddie might like these. Bought footy pajamas, came home. Boom, Maddie had footy pajamas. I'm telling you, at that point, and I still remind Madeline this at times when we talk about prayer, her and I at the house, there at that point in her life, there was nobody who was going to tell Madeline that prayer did not work. Nobody. Because she got these footy pajamas that she had prayed for. If you need a loaf of bread, ask for a loaf of bread. So the pardon of prayer. Really quickly as we go through, we're getting to the end. And forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Sometimes prayer is not answered because we're not praying to God as a father, because we've never been saved, but sometimes prayer is not answered because we're not praying in the will of God. We're not saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Instead, we're saying, my kingdom come, my will be done. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because they're just not asked. We simply don't say, Father, give me what I need. And then sometimes our prayers are not answered because there's unconfessed, unrepentant sin in our lives that we just don't want to face. Along with asking for what we need to remember one thing that we definitely need is forgiveness. That's why our Lord taught us to pray and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. I want to give you two promises concerning prayer directly out of Scripture. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And second is this, Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. This does not mean that he literally cannot hear you. God doesn't need hearing aids. It is that sin has come between you and a holy God. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. Notice this has nothing concerning sinning and the Lord ignoring you. If that were the case, he wouldn't hear any of us, to be honest, because we know what the Bible says about our flesh, Romans 3:23, John 1:8. God tells us that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. What does that mean? Let's suppose you're like the average Christian. You say, nobody's perfect. Everybody has some sin in his or her life, so this one is mine. Now in your life, what you have is you're harboring a pet sin. It may be a grudge against somebody, maybe an attitude against somebody, or maybe some sort of a bad habit. There's no repentance and sorrow for that sin, but rather there's a regard for it in your life. So let's say that you go to God in prayer and ask Him to heal someone, and He doesn't answer. Is He ever going to believe you and hear your prayer? You see, it's not merely sin, but rather a regard for it. You must get that sin out of your heart and out of your life by repenting of it. And the only way of doing that is going to the Lord in prayer and asking Him for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're praying with unrepented sin in your heart, then you might as well consider not wasting your breath. Your prayers are not getting any higher than these light bulbs. Also remember that God forgives us in the manner that we forgive others. So how do you forgive people that sin against you? You may be like, I'm not going to forgive her. Well, then God says, I'm not going to forgive you either. Well, then you say, okay, well then I'm going to forgive her, but I'm not going to have anything to do with her ever. Well, God says, okay, well, then I'm going to forgive you, then I'm not going to have anything to do with you. You see, when you do what we are praying, when we do what we are praying with conditions, we're saying, Lord, you forgive me in the same manner that I forgive these other people. So is there unconfessed sin in your heart right now? So lastly, I want to talk about the protection of prayer. Now that brings us to another important point. 6:13, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think sometimes we forget that there is a devil. He is real, and he wants to keep us from praying. He doesn't like it when we're praying. We need to pray to the Lord, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Which brings up a good question. Does God tempt us? James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. That pretty much answers the question. The answer is no. So this verse can be translated, lead us lest we fall into temptation. We need to pray daily that the Lord will deliver us. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever committed a sin, asked God to forgive you, and He did? Most people in here would say yes. Okay, so another question. Have you ever asked God to forgive you for your sin? Did you commit that same sin or one like it again, even after God forgave you the first time? Many of us would say yes. And you ever repeated that sin, maybe as many as 10 times, and come to God and be like, hey, it's me again, right? I mean, maybe you don't say that, but it's close, right? Now, the question is, does He still forgive us? Yeah, yeah. If we're sincere, of course He does. 70 times 7, He's going to forgive you. As far as God's concerned, that's the first time that you've committed that sin, essentially, if you're looking at how He deals with it, because He not only forgives, then He forgets. Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Okay, but the thing is, when you start saying that, then it turns into, because I'm saved, is that like this Monopoly get out of jail free card? The answer is no. Because number one, aren't you tired of coming back with that same old sin over and over again? I mean, in reality, like we were talking about, hey, it's me again, aren't you kind of embarrassed that you got to keep coming back to God and about the same thing? Aren't you ashamed that you have to come back and say, Lord, it's me again, it's that same problem again? I think that many times we understand verse 12, the pardon of prayer, but we have not understood the protection of prayer. The reason that we continually need to come back and ask for forgiveness is because we have not put the protection of prayer that will help us repeatedly from falling into temptation. Mark Combs gave me a book a long time ago. It's still in my office. I just have never given it back to him. So I either need to buy him a new one or finally give it back to him someday. It talks about putting hedges up in your life. Yeah, that helps. That helps. But that's not the end. As many hedges as you put up, you put the hedge up, you can take the hedge down. God's got to be able to hold that hedge up for you. Many times we jump out of bed feeling fine, fat, and happy about ourselves. The sun's shining. You have breakfast. There's not time, nor is there a need for prayer this morning. Everything's good. I don't need to pray to God. Everything's good. Nobody in my family's sick. Nothing's going on. I'm really going to be late for work, so I have to hurry up and go. But then something unexpected happens. We have a head-on collision with Satan, and he's been waiting for you, and he knows how to snatch you in, because he's not all that interested in you necessarily. He's interested in hurting God, and like most despicable people, if they can't hurt you, then they're going to hurt the ones that you love, and that's why the devil wants to harm you, because he wants to get to God indirectly. Everything is going great during the day, and now we can see Satan is going to throw a bombshell in your lap. It comes unexpectedly, and we fail, right? That's how it works. We are humans, we fail. And the end of the day, we ask the Lord's forgiveness, and he still does. He still does. That is so awesome. But this is not the prayer to be prayed at the end of the day. It's the prayer that we need to pray at the beginning of the day. As we wake up, we have to put on the armor of God and make the provision of the flesh. We must immerse ourselves in the presence and the power of God. Quite frankly, we don't pray for protection because we think we are capable of handling it. We think we're good. The worst thing is not our prayerlessness. The worst thing is our pride and thinking, I got this. We need to go on the offensive, not on the defensive. Start every day thinking, I've got to be on the offensive here. So the praise of prayer. Last. The praise of prayer. 6:15. For thine is the kingdom and thy power and the glory forever. Amen. Notice that this begins and now ends on a word of prayer. All powerful prayer is packed with praise. Why is that? Because praise is an expression of faith. Prayer is faith turned inside out. Faith causes our prayers to be answered. So we're commanded to pray in the will of God with clean hearts. Then we have every right to expect God to answer that prayer. Now, again, don't come with these preconceived expectations, right? God, I want to be president. I want a job, so make me president of the United States. And God gives you a job at McDonald's. He gave you a job. You're probably not qualified to be president of the United States, right? Unless you're President Harold. He was good. So we can begin to praise him. And if we're having difficulty in our praying, it might be because we're not praying enough. It pleases the Lord when we offer him the sacrifices of praise. Psalm 23:3. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So you don't have a failure in your life except that which is a prayer failure. There's not a sin in your life that proper prayer wouldn't have avoided. There's not a need in your life that could not be met if you learn to pray effectively. I think many times we as Christians, whether it's because we're new or whether it's because we're old, whether it's because we don't know how or we just think we're good. You know, we're one of those old crusty guys and gals. We need to remember that God wants us to come to him as little children. So always have that newness, that admiration for him, that love for him, that praise for him, that want to be talking to him, to be near him in spiritually in your prayer. Please make sure that if you get nothing else from this, remember that you should be talking to him like you talk to your father. You should know him like you know your father. If you don't, how do you expect to know his will for your life? And if you don't know his will for your life, then how are you ever going to be walking down the path that he wants you to be walking down? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time we've had to look into your word. Lord, we ask that you can dismiss us now with your blessing. We ask that you can continue to help us to grow. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. You